Good evening, my little darklings. It's time now for the best in paranormal podcasting. This is the Paranormal 60 News, Supernatural Secrets Revealed. Next, right here on the Paranormal 60. Hello, my little darklings. Thank you for tuning in live and for all of you watching our show after the fact. I'm just glad you're here. No matter where you are in the world or why you're here right now, we're just thankful that you are. Welcome to the Paranormal 60 News Edition. We've got a lot of great stories to cover this evening. Let me introduce to you the Paranormal 60 News crew. Ladies and gentlemen, the paranormal detective himself, Greg Lawson. Good evening, Mr. Lawson.
Hello, Dave Schrader. I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, he served in the military and retired. I think it's because they wanted him out, but we'll take him anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, the Colonel, Marty Vaez. Hi, Marty.
How are you, Dave? Happy Friday.
Thank you, guys. Good to see you. Thank you very much for joining me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, help me say it. We have to conjure him like Bloody Mary. Chachi. Eric Folsom. Yes,
hey, welcome, gentlemen, what's going on, guys?
Chachi. Well, I'll tell you what's going on.
Tell us.
I got to look at tonight's stories.
Yeah.
And let me just say, I have the first story of the night.
Oh,
I can tell you this.
Wow.
Pushing.
Whoa.
Looking at the second, third, and fourth stories, folks, I hope you've got a big tumbler with lots to drink. Because let me give people a little taste of what's coming up. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about an ex-CIA agent who's come forward on his deathbed to reveal some secrets, as tonight's program promised.
Hello.
Then we're going to take Marty. He's going to take us to São Paulo, Brazil. So you know there's going to be some words.
That's some Portuguese stuff.
But that's not all. Greg, the paranormal detective, is next on the docket. He's next.
What?
What? And he's taking us to Asia.
That is Greg's sweet spot right there.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, and as if that isn't enough, the capable hands of Chachi, we're going to the necropolis in Egypt to talk about mummies with golden tongues.
What?
I heard this story about 120 times, and every time I've messed it up. Oh, yeah.
I will have you know, that was after I went and cherry-picked some words out for you.
Wait, he gets his stuff
on each one of yours? Each one of your stories. I send you your stories a day in advance.
If you're not what are you talking about?
It's Chachi, okay? Just deal with it.
Let's begin this evening's festivities. That's right.
Stories. Yeah, he pour your own stories. All right.
Yeah, I do.
Is that what we're calling it now?
I am drinking a little bit of my favorite concoction, Screwball.
Screwball.
Still number one with the kids.
You know what?
It is.
I'm very dejected. I asked Marty to look into something. I bet he hasn't. So I'm going to have to ask you, Chachi.
All right.
So Yingling, are you familiar with the brand Yingling?
Yes. Beer from Pennsylvania, sure.
Just got it down here in Texas this year, I think.
We did.
Perfect. Yingling has a Hershey's chocolate porter.
Correct.
So what you're supposed to do is pour a tumbler full like this.
Yep.
This is a Guinness. I started early.
Wow.
I'm still trying to beat back my cough, so the whiskey's really medicinal. Then you take a shot of Screwball peanut butter whiskey and drop it in to the chocolate porter and drink it, and they call it a peanut butter cup. Everybody that I've talked to that's tried it loves it. I went around my state. Yingling doesn't come here.
Wow.
Yingling says to the Isaiah Hardy nay, Minnesota. Wow. And they shut me down.
Wow. Well, interestingly enough, Dave, to your point, I just learned about that this past weekend. And I had one this past weekend.
How was it?
It was like a peanut butter cup. It is absolutely delightfully delicious as a dessert. How you like that?
Well, do me a favor. Can you go buy some? Put it away for me for my next visit, because I don't know if this is just like a holiday thing, this chocolate porter, but can you put some away? I'm dying to try it.
I'll do it. You have my word.
Why don't we just fly to Minnesota with it and like drink it next week?
Since the airline, the cost of airline tickets are going so down so much.
Oh my God, they're through the roof. It's insane. Guys, a couple of things. I've got to tell you, I received some beautiful emails this week, some very loving emails about our little paranormal news crew. I also was thanked from a member from the LGBTQ ABC. I can't remember all the different letters.
That's good. No, you did good on that one.
And they said that they really appreciate the fact that I refer to all listeners as my darklings. That there are not darklings and darklets. There are no other iterations. Everyone is a darkling. They like that I've evened the playing field.
I like that.
So. Me too.
Yeah.
You're a forerunner in that, Dave. And
I have people emailing me saying, your little darkling Roger, your darkling Pam. I get darkling emails all the time. So I'll tell you what, I'm working on a t-shirt. We're going to have an official darkling t-shirt by 2023.
Wow. Yay. Did you notice all of us were just flabbergasted? Did you notice that? Flabbergasted.
Yeah. Speechless.
Yeah. Something happened.
Now, we all do this for the approval of our listeners. Mm-hmm. So did you happen to bring any along so that we could hear what they actually said? No, I guess not. He didn't.
I guess that would be a negative.
Actually, what do you get? I send you, this. I take screenshots of a lot of the messages and I send them to you guys.
Yeah.
Except for the ones that talk about how great Greg
is. The magic.
Somehow get lost in the ether.
Exactly.
The internet. Yeah. I think it's because of his clearance in the military.
That's what it is.
Speaking of clearance in the military, guys, this is an amazing story, and I can't wait to get everybody's take on this very first story that I've got coming up. An ex-CIA agent made a chilling Area 51 UFO and alien confession on his deathbed. Now, this is kind of actually old news, but it's remade it to the internet. And as a matter of fact, if you're a follower of this channel, I posted this on Wednesday. You can actually go see the interview and hear from this gentleman. A man claiming to be a former CIA agent made some shocking claims about Area 51 while on his deathbed. The anonymous man claimed to catch sight of an extraterrestrial spacecraft while working in Area 51 and even described the features of a living alien. In a film that was made by award-winning director Jeremy Corbell called The Anonymous Interview, the man discusses a controversial claim made by the agent. He claimed that the reason he was able to see bizarre things was because his position as a member of the military and intelligence services meant he was given that access. The 77-year-old man spoke with UFO researcher Richard Dolan, but decided to go by the anonymous because he was concerned about what would happen if he revealed his true identity. The agent is understood to have allegedly used a fake name throughout his career in the CIA, so his real name could never be confirmed. He worked for the CIA between 1957 and 1960. Now, according to Howes and Wise, and spent time in a military base in southeast of the USA where they analyzed physical evidence of anomalous nature. Journalist Linda Moulton Howe sat down with the man in 1998 and interviewed him for 11 hours of audio, in which he went by the name Agent Cooper, K-E-W-P-E-R, Agent Cooper. However, after his interview, he was allegedly warned by the CIA not to take part in any more conversations about this time in his military career. Then, in 2013, his health was on the decline and he feared he may die, so he came out of hiding for one more conversation, this time with Richard Dolan. He claimed that he was taken into Area 51 to look at items allegedly found and retrieved by the U.S. government. Now, he said that among them was a flying saucer that had crashed and landed in July of 1947 in a little town you guys may not have heard of, Roswell, New Mexico. That's news to me. He also claimed there were live aliens captured from the craft and that he was taken to the S4 facility, Area 51, where he also saw a live extraterrestrial. He said it took 13 or 15 miles south of S4 and like different garage door openings. Okay. And in these garage door openings, they had like different saucer type craft. The very first one had the Roswell craft in it, and it was kind of crashed up, but apparently every alien that was in it had died except for a couple. The Roswell craft was really strange because it looked like really heavy aluminum foil. We could walk next to it, and the whole thing probably weighed 150 to 300 pounds. Cooper said that at S4, we viewed the autopsy film, and then the colonel said, "What we've got in here is we're interviewing a gray alien." I thought, we had no idea we were going to see the real thing. And then we all saw the film. Dolan then asked, "What did this gray alien look like? Could you describe him a bit?" To which he responded, "It didn't look human as far as the skin tone and basically the shape of it and the size, how its head size compared with a normal human. For example, the brain was a lot bigger and the nose very, very small. The ears, they were just holes, and the mouth, a small slit." So this interview resurfaced. I've got it on the Paranormal 60 page, so you can go in and check it out. I don't know if people know this yet, but okay, so I made a mistake on Monday. I called it our 90th episode. That was actually our 92nd episode. Gentlemen, this is our 93rd episode of the show. 93rd, wow. Right now, tonight, 93. Tonight. Congratulations. Yeah. And aside from all of the shows of the Paranormal 60, there's a lot of other content. I've got classic horror movies. I've got interviews. I've got clips. I've got some cool stuff that I was able to uncover and share with you, stuff that has been lost to time and tide. We've got it on our page.
Oh, yeah.
So go check it out. That's what's going on. This is exciting. I promised secrets revealed tonight, guys. We got a lot of them to share.
Time and tide.
Yeah. Time and tide. That sounds very poetic, doesn't
it? That's good, right? Yeah.
Is that like Roll Tide?
Time and tide.
Your Roll Tide. No, it's a
Purple Tide. Purple Tide. Leave me another drink here. Hold on.
Jesus. Wow. Yeah.
Choose the throat. I cannot beat this cough. I don't know if I need practitioners out there, energy healers.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
I've swallowed crystals. Like down my throat, pulled it back up on a string, swallowed it, just trying to scratch away the throat junk. Yeah, nothing's working.
I'm leaving that one alone.
It's too bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, so it's driving me nuts, but the whiskey does seem to help.
The whiskey seems to help.
It always helps. Give me a hard time. After 92 episodes, you should know by now. Yes. I know what I'm talking about.
I've never once heard you cough. I've heard you gag.
I've heard you gag. Slur word.
I don't want to share any hands here, okay? But if you would like to raise your hand if you've had COVID, please raise your hand.
I look like Marty still had COVID.
Your internal organs see COVID come in and they're like, we can't take that. Go, listen, go away. They're
scared. Yeah. China should have come to me a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that was the car. I think if China really was behind it, they didn't want to know that there's somebody that could beat it.
Oh,
I could just be down there in Texas.
Chachi.
Yeah. In Where Texas. Are we going next, Dave?
Oh, I'm glad that you asked. I'm going to Germany this summer. And I'd like for you guys to join me as we explore the most enigmatic landscapes only found in Eastern Europe. Yeah, enigmatic. How do you like that? Dark supernatural trails of Germany and Prague. And I know who's going to be there with me. The colonel, he's already signed up. He's put down his money because he can make payments. All of you can make payments. You don't even have to pay it all up front right now. Go make a payment and you can lock up. How do you do it? And this is awesome. We have already sold 24 of the 30 spots available. I have 6 spots left open for the Germany trip. It's really only been available a little over a week. So if you want to go to Germany with me this summer, check out darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. The next person up this evening is the colonel. All right, everybody, get your drinks ready because I have a feeling this night's going to wreck us.
Where's the ball? I have
no confidence in my reporting ability here.
Listen, if you have no confidence, I have even less. So
I gave you Brazil. Isn't that close to your home?
Portuguese, man. It's Portuguese.
I didn't say I don't have confidence. I said you all don't have confidence.
Oh,
well, that's true. I have perfect confidence. I'm going to come out sparkling
on this one. I'm going to read along with because I got to see just how this goes.
Yeah.
Colonel. Dave.
Colonel.
There we go.
You have the floor.
Dave, I'm going to do a silent count in my head.
Okay. Beginning.
How many seconds in before the first mistake?
Oh, get out.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, dude.
You know, I'm asking. It's going to be right up front. This is good.
Marty. Okay. I got you, man.
Thanks, Greg.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Let us begin.
Okay. Well, a couple discover an eerie alien hand on beach. A huge skeletal hand with long bony fingers has been found by a shocked couple walking along a beach. Leticia Gomez Santiago and her boyfriend, Devaner Souza, were strolling along the shoreline when they stumbled upon the strange find on the sand in Yacombreda, Sao Paulo, State, Brazil, on Sunday. The couple
beat the 12 seconds. All
there
right,
you go.
Keep going.
The couple filmed the moment they found the remains using a pair of thongs. Not tongs.
Nope.
Thongs.
Yeah.
To pick it up.
Wait, they used a pair of thongs?
They did.
Who wears two thongs?
That is how the article is.
Those were chunkless, man. That's not a thong. That's a chunkless.
Why you got to wear two?
I will say it is how it's written in the article. There were thongs. Because nobody wants to touch a big bony skeletal hand without taking off your underwear and doing it first. That's cleansly. when in Sao Paulo, Brazil, it's cleansly.
Sao Paulo. All right.
Monsters cleansly?
Okay.
The video shows five long fingers attached to a thicker bone with cartilage apparent between the joints. We think it's not human because of the size and the amount of bones. What could it possibly be? Mr. Santiago said, it's very big, she added, with the size of the hand overshadowing her flip-flops. We don't know what animal it is, and if it's an alien, even worse. One local joked that it looks like E.T.'s hand, while another theorized that it belonged to a mermaid. Another guessed it was a dinosaur bone. Take it to a biologist because this isn't normal, one person added. Marine biologist Eric Common said the skeletal hand belonged to a cetacean, an aquatic mammal that includes whales, dolphins, and porpoises, although further tests would be needed to determine exactly which one. Due to its size, Common said the bones probably belong to a dolphin, especially as they are commonly found in the region. The biologist added that anyone who finds animal remains on the beach should notify their local environmental agency. IPEC spokesperson Henrique Chupel, who also said that the skeleton probably belongs to a cetacean, stated, we always prioritize leaving the bones on the beach so it does not interfere with the cycling of nutrients within the ecosystem. Eventually, when there is some scientific interest, we collect them to be used in studies. If they are recently deceased animals, we collect them to perform necropsies and identify the cause of death. Thank you, gentlemen.
Wow. That was killer.
Wow. That was not great, what I expected.
That was great.
Yeah.
Cetaceans, though. I learned a word. Yeah. Cetaceans.
Look at this. So this is interesting, isn't it? Those are what's inside the dolphin's side fins. They actually, I don't know if you guys know this. They believe, they know that the dolphins were actually land mammals at some point. And in order to survive, probably against dinosaurs, they entered the water. Now, what's interesting to me about this is I've also heard the theory that they are the most closely related to the gray alien race. And when you think about it, the big dark eyes, the slit for a mouth, little pinholes for a nose, and that rubbery gray-like skin. And what if they were left here and then just kind of
morphed into a...
Had to adapt,
Cetacean.
Look at that.
I do like that.
Look at that.
Pretty
interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah. All right.
Congratulations, Marty. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric.
All right. The paranormal detective. It's your time to shine.
Am I up already? All right.
You are.
So
let me start the clock. Hold on.
Go ahead. Let's go to India, Dave. Let's go to India. Yes. Deadly snake bites man's tongue after astrologer's nightmare advice.
Yeah. Astrologers?
Astrologers.
Sure.
Everybody have a sip.
Why not?
Come on.
Astrologers.
That's the way
that's the way it was written. I am not slurring my words. I'm speaking in cursive.
Jesus. So,
Greg, I'm here for you, buddy.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Marty.
Sure.
A deadly snake bit a man's tongue after astrologer told him that performing a ritual that the serpent would stop his nightmares. Yes. A 54-year-old man from India state Tamil Nadu sought the advice of an astrologer after he,
just keep going.
All right. After he had a dream involving a snake, a local astrologer, someone who practices traditional Hindu astrology, told him to perform a snake worship ritual at a temple to stop the dreams. The temple priest told the man that the snake in his dream had been a Russell's viper, one of the most dangerous snakes in Asia, and brought a real life one to him. The Russell's viper is also one of the most common snakes to inflict bites on people in India. During the ritual, the man mimicked the snake's tongue by flickering movements, which is then the incredibly deadly snake bit him. After the snake bit him, the priest attempted to cut.
Question?
What?
Greg?
There's, yeah.
For you know, I mean, we've got a lot of viewers around the world that are watching this, and they're having a hard time. Could you maybe show us what he was doing? What kind of motion was he doing with his tongue?
It says he was flickering movements.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah. Huh. And that was
I'm sorry. Could you show us that one more time?
Yeah. Yeah, that's man. Did you see how fast that thing was?
That was fast. I was trying to count it. It was too fast.
Yeah, there's no way. It almost looks like the video's lagging or something. It's going so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So attempted to cut his tongue with a knife only worsened the pain for this poor man who had a Russell's viper bit on his tongue.
Who would have thought that once your tongue's been bitten by a very venomous viper?
Yeah.
That taking a knife to it, cutting it open might it feel worse.
Wait, the knife didn't work. Let's set it on fire. Yeah, let's do that.
You cauterize it. That's the way to do it.
Exactly. Keep
it So anyway, the venom from the Russell's viper usually causes cardiovascular complications, hemostatic abnormalities.
Abnormalities.
Yep, those are abnormalities, all right. Abnormalities. Here's the funny thing. He's reading a story from India. The word he can't get is English.
Renal failure and other effects. Those who are bitten need treatment immediately. The man was rushed to a nearby medical center. The chief doctor on the case said that they found damage to the man's artery within his tongue. Really? I said that, right? Damage to the man's artery, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This caused severe bleeding, which blocked the man's airway, causing him to collapse, the news outlet reported.
Ouch.
Surgery was performed, and the man was discharged 7 days later. He almost lost his life, and people should exercise caution against undertaking such risky practice of worship. Sinthinku Maran told the Hindu. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In India, you thought I was going to mess that one up. That was a good one. I know you are. Yeah.
I'm still not sure you didn't.
Let me get Sinthinku Maran on the phone here.
Yeah.
Sure. Did you get that right? He did.
He did.
So in India, about 5 million snake bites occur each year, and these are responsible for between 81,000 and 138,000 deaths, according to the World Health Organization. Damn it.
The World Horror Society.
Wow. Yeah, the old World Health Society.
Saturday.
We like to call it the WHO, World Health, the Society.
Now, gentlemen, have any of you been to India?
No, sir.
Show of hands. Who's been to India? All right.
Yeah. No, so, I haven't.
The three of us have not, and we all get COVID. You have, and you have not.
Wow. Interesting. I think there's something there.
Correlation.
Definitely.
I'm a bit of a standout.
This is one of the things that they do to prove this is no joke, in India, this, and do you know how many of those bites? It made it sound like, oh, there's all these bites that take place, because a lot of these goofballs do this. If you're listening to the podcast, there are photographs of these two men proving their worth to their Hindu god by putting the viper's head into their mouth.
I'm telling you, people are so jacked up, man.
Oh, people are just dumb as bricks. That's it.
Yeah. Wow. Ow.
Okay, so snakes are still often used in religious rituals and for traditional practices. The doctor stated that the policies were urgent and needed to stop rituals as they could be incredibly dangerous. The doctor also said education, especially in rural
the word areas.
In places in the country, in places far out of the city, was needed to make people aware of the dangers of such rituals. Snakes are particularly a problem in rural areas as people don't have fast access to anti-venom. Those living in those areas often rely on herbal remedies to treat snake bites, which may cause thousands of additional deaths a year. Hey, but Romulus Whitaker, an India-based herpetologist at Madras Crocodile Bank. What is a herpetologist?
A herpetologist?
A herpetologist. What does he have to do with any of this?
Herpetologist is a snake guy.
I will say a herpetologist. All right. So snake guy works to educate villagers on snake bites. Previously told Newsweek, people should not waste time on going to local healers using herbal or other purported useless remedies. These suggestions are made these suggestions are
words is hard.
Just keep going. Hey, Chachi, I haven't seen you take a hit off that glass.
He's saving Greg's it.
Talk. It's
That was five, man.
Yeah. Oh, are you preparing for yourself? You needed to have enough booze in there for your story?
Listen, I have stopped giving a hard time to Greg because I'm looking ahead at my story going, oh, my goodness.
All right, I'm almost there. I'm like right at the end. I'm the last sentence right there. Places to transport to hospitals could take hours, and people strongly believe in local healers in their village, Whitaker said.
Stated.
Thank you. Huh. Awesome, man. So you go to an astrologer. Guys, I mean, I'm not above it. I've had my astrology charts done. You go to a palm reader. I've had my palm read. You go to a phrenologist. I've had my the lumps on my head read. None of them ever once told me, you should go confront a snake and lick your tongue in. Not one ever said that. So I think this story earns
dumbest news of the day.
Yeah.
It stopped halfway through. It didn't even, it just said dumbest news. And then it stopped.
No, it didn't.
On your end, it did. But
have another drink, Greg. Have another drink. All right, Chachi. You know what? If only they had coated their tongues in gold, maybe they'd still be alive from those snake bites.
I was thinking, maybe what I'll do is I'll read this off the air. How's that sound?
What's that mean? No, I'd like to hear
mail it in. If any listeners want me to read the story directly to them, just feel free to hit me up and I'll just read it to them one-on-one.
Chachi at lostcause.com. Chachi, it saved my
life. Come on, make me proud, man. You can do this.
You got it, Eric.
Make me all you want.
You can do it.
Stretch. Come on. Stretch it out a little bit, Eric. Come on. Roll the shoulders. Roll the head and neck. All right, ready? And
if only I had a BA in English, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I read the story over. It's a 30-second story at best. If I get out of this in less than 2 minutes, I'll drink the rest of my drink. Yeah.
Are y'all really actually practicing these stories before the thing?
That's what I've asked you since day one.
Day one, but that's okay.
We could tell by the way you read, rebelled, Greg.
I thought we were supposed to just go cold and just do the thing. 92
No one has ever said that.
Nope. 92. We've always, you remember those emails that I say, guys, there's a lot of big words in these stories. Take a good look. Or do you don't read that either? You wait till the night of the show and ignore
it's
that.
It's a long email, and I'm just like,
it's three sentences.
I got things to do.
All right. All right. Chachi, I have faith in you. If any of these guys believe in you, it's going to be this one. I'm the one that brought you on for the Paranormal 60.
It is
so
true.
Here we go.
Deep breaths. Here we go. The headline reads.
From Texas, yes.
The headline reads, Mummies with Golden Tongues Discovered in Ancient Egyptian Necropolis. Ooh, there's a photo. This is cool. All right. The auspicious discovery.
Very nice.
Whew, made it through the first three. Was made at the Kawizna Necropolis. Is that not true? Is that how you pronounce it? I looked it up on Google. The Kawizna Necropolis in the Central Nile Delta. Discovered in 1989, the year of my birth. The site is thought to have been occupied during the Ptolemaic and Roman periods.
That's right.
Close
that's
enough.
Yep. Good job. Which stretched from 300 BCE to 640 CE.
Wait, real quick. Does anybody know what that means? I grew up with BC and AD. I don't know what this BCE and CE and ABED and Greg, do you know what this stands
for?
Yeah,
it's going to really bring the show down, though.
All right, let's just skip it then. Who needs answers? All right, go ahead, Chachi.
I thought 300 BCE was before Christ and Eric.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the first sentence. The second sentence reads: The golden-tongued mummies were unearthed in a newly discovered extension of the archaeological compound, where numerous other bodies were interred across three different time periods in ancient Egypt. Where well Dave's done. Going. Some of the unearthed skeletons have their bones glazed in gold, while others have simply been buried near gold-shaped scarabs and lotus flowers. The golden tongues are a bit of a puzzle, however, even though they have been found before. At the start of 2021, researchers digging at a 2,000-year-old site in Egypt uncovered a skull with a gleaming tongue-shaped ornament framed in its yawning mouth. Then at the end of 2021, a man, a woman, and a child mummy were again found with golden tongues dating back more than 2,500 years. At the time of the discoveries were made, the Egyptian Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities suspected the gold had been placed there long ago by embalmers to ensure the dead could navigate the afterlife. Today, a person with a silver tongue, i.e. known as a Lawson, is a most persuasive speaker. But in ancient Egypt, experts think a golden tongue was necessary to get on the good side of the Lord and judge of the underworld. And I'm going to ask a serious question here. Is it Osiris or Osiris?
Osiris.
It is Osiris.
Osiris.
Okay.
Osiris, yeah.
Because it says Seer in the middle. Osi. Got it. Like Hades, Osiris also lived among the dead, and he enforced a strict rule of speechlessness. In fact, the underworld in Egypt was sometimes known as the Silent Land, and Osiris himself was called the Lord of Silence. What a great name for a band.
Oh, yeah.
I like
Lord that, of Silence.
Yeah. Osiris apparently loathed noise, much like the Grinch, which is why during funerary, which I've never heard that term before, funerary, arrangements in ancient Egypt, it is thought that silence was enforced. Only when the mouth of a mummy was opened in preparation for the afterlife was any music or sound played. Perhaps the introduction of a golden tongue allowed mummies to speak to Osiris without making any noise. But if that's the case, then why are only some mummies buried with golden tongues?
Good question.
We'll come back to that.
Good question.
Gold was a popular material in ancient Egypt to make ornaments for funerary rites. The glimmering element was considered to be the flesh of the gods, specifically the skin of the sun god Ra.
Ra. Yeah.
And was associated with the concept of eternity.
Yeah.
Ra was the leader of all the ancient Egyptian gods, the creator of everything, and he was closely united with Osiris. Ra represented the sunlit portion of the day, while Osiris represented the hours of darkness. Oh, see where I went with that? I tied it all back.
Wow.
Waited 92 episodes to do that.
Yeah. Well done.
Maybe a golden tongue represents a line to the light, even in the cold darkness of the netherworld. Without more evidence, all we can do is speculate. Officials at the Egyptian ministry say the mummies found at Kawizna. Remember that word from the beginning? Kawizna. Are in bad condition, and their secrets are disintegrating along with them. Their golden tongues are clearly trying to communicate something, but all that we hear now is silence.
That's the noise
of golden tongues. The golden tongues.
That is the noise of golden tongues.
This was a tongue episode.
Yeah, that was well done. Guys, you made it. Listen, I am impressed. You made it through the three hardest news stories.
Who made it through what?
Well, not you, two of you made it through. Yeah, not you. I was trying to include you all. You had to point yourself out. Look at me, everybody. I'm Greg. I messed up the most. Okay, I'm different.
I'm different.
No, I didn't realize that this was going to be like NPR stuff. I'll start doing the whole NPR thing.
92 episodes in.
Being prepared.
Yeah. He didn't realize I was supposed to be prepared.
Yeah. Please send your applications to dave@paranormal60.com. If you realized one should be prepared before a show, you may be considered to be Greg's replacement.
Marty and Eric would welcome you with open arms.
Make sure to join me on my Egypt Obscuro trip, Schrader's of the Lost Ark,
February 12th
through the 23rd, 12 days, 11 magical nights. We're going to be checking out megalithic structures, metaphysical quests, ethereal Egyptian pharaohs and queens, and they are discovering new things every day. We're going to be boots on the ground in those areas, and I would love for you to join me. How do you do it? Easy enough. Just go to darknessevents.com. darknessevents.com, and you too could be part of the thrilling chase. You could go with me as we investigate the paranormal on the 100th anniversary of the opening of King Tut's tomb. Everybody in November, they're all, it's been 100 years since King Tut's tomb was discovered. It was not opened until February. So this is the 100th anniversary, and we get a chance to be there and go into Howard Carter's home, the man who discovered King Tut's tomb. So if you'd like to be a part of that, what?
Will there be cake?
There will be cake.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Scarab cake.
Dave. Dave, you gotta put your face inside that crack, and you gotta say, "I see wondrous things."
I see wondrous things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what his name said.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, we've got a lot more to cover. This is the Paranormal 60 News Supernatural Secrets Revealed. Stay tuned as we continue to reveal more right after this. The Paranormal 60 is now available on just about every podcast app out there. So if you'd like to continue this journey and listen to the best in paranormal podcasting, no matter where you go, make sure you look for the Paranormal 60. And do me a favor, if they have a way to rate and review it on the app that you listen to, please take just a few moments to rate and review, especially if you are listening on Apple Podcast. Yeah, that's it. Or iTunes, either one of those. Please make sure you take just a few moments. So many of you have done it already, but do me a favor. Not only give it 5 stars, but tell us what you love about the show. That's all I'm asking. Listen to the best in paranormal podcasting every week, Mondays, Fridays, and sometimes bonus episodes. Go do it right now. Go rate and review and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Hey guys, do you know what everybody needs for this holiday season? The Paranormal 60 Protection and Energy Bracelet. It's available right now. It is our 2022 edition, our inaugural season, and we are bringing you 6 beautifully cut gemstones, all with energy and protection, healing and Reiki infused, to make you the most protected paranormal investigator in the field. If you'd like to get that inaugural piece, make sure you email me right now, dave@paranormal60.com. That's dave@paranormal60.com. Once these final pieces are sold, they will be gone until the 10th anniversary. So you'll have to wait until like 2073. I'm not good at math. You'll just have to trust me on that, that it's going to be a while until they're back. So if you want to get this first inaugural edition, they're all beautifully cut gemstones created by Moxie Mollis, the professional jeweler, then you should go get it now. They are not plastic. They are not glass beads. These are actual gemstones. $40 for the bracelet and $7.95 shipping and handling here in the United States. We have very few left, and I would like you to have one. So make sure that you order it now before the holidays. All right, guys, we are back. It is time to get back into supernatural news, paranormal stories from around the globe. And our paranormal team is a crack team, or cracked team of paranormal researchers and reporters. And the leading cracked reporter, Martin Baez, the Colonel, is with us. Marty, they want to know why it doesn't say the Colonel on your nameplate whenever you pop up. Why is it always Marty Baez?
Because
the Colonel.
Because I was born with Marty Baez is what
I thought it was Martin called. Baez. So.
It is, you know, it depends. If I'm in trouble, it's Martin. If I'm not, it's Marty, you know. So
on this show, you're never in trouble. You're always surrounded
therefore,
with the love of your brothers. I got you.
You're the guy with the Keurigs. So
is it the fact that KFC has threatened to sue you for trying to claim the title of the Colonel?
Yeah, you probably read it in the papers. I'm going through some legal cases here with the.
I understand. You don't want to cross swords with the Colonel. Those seven herbs and spices, or is it 13? I know 11 herbs and spices. How many are there?
11.
Well, see, that's the problem. I don't want to get into his area. So the Colonel has his thing. I have my thing. Let's just.
Yeah. Did you guys ever do Y Camp when you were kids? I'm sorry. Listen, I've had a lot of whiskey tonight, so I'm all jibber jabbery. But did you guys ever go to Y Camp as kids
with the Colonel?
YMCA?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Did you?
Was there lunch?
I went to seminary.
I went to Y Camp. I went to Camp Lincoln, Camp Edwards, and then I went out to Kentucky where I got to meet the Colonel when he was still alive.
Really?
What? Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah.
It was part of the Y Camp curriculum. I was, when it came to nuts, I had the nuts, guys. I would sell nuts like nobody's business. If you opened your door, I was going to get you to eat my nuts. That's how it was. And it didn't matter what the cost of those nuts were. At the end of the time that I was there with you, it was guaranteed you were going to taste my salty nuts. And I was going to go to Y Camp that summer.
What? You know, What were you selling? I'm confused. We sold like nuts. Chocolate.
Oh, sorry for you. No, we sold nuts, canned nuts, mixed nuts, pecans, pistachios, as my son used to call them, pistachios. Who likes pistachios, Dad? Nobody, because they're pistachios, son. But I used to sell canned nuts, and every year, 5 years running, I outsold every other kid in the neighborhood.
Wow. You know, Dave,
I made my way to Y Camp every year.
Might want to try that with the bracelets. You could say that Dave was seriously into nuts. Mm-hmm. And So
I would share my nuts with everybody that opened their door. If they opened their door, if it was a housewife, a child, an adult, a dog with a collar and a wallet, I was willing to show my nuts. And I would take their cash right then and there.
I'm pretty sure tomorrow morning you're
comfortable, Greg.
Tomorrow morning you're gonna kind of
guys listen. Probably it's been a good run. We got through 92 episodes.
Guys, we are seven math. Are we on 93 now, right?
It's 97.
Yeah. Wait, from 100. It seems like an eternity. We only kicked this thing off back in March, and I'm so excited that you guys joined this with me. This is that I love you guys moment on the podcast, but I'm so excited because you know what? I love that we're able to do this show together and enjoy it and just have a fun time because I look forward to this night. I enjoy my interviews. I enjoy talking to those people, but there's no night like Friday nights. And our viewers know it. Our listeners know it. And we thank all of you around the world that tune in and check out this show.
And if there's anything I've learned tonight, there's no nuts. Like Dave's nuts.
Wow. That's
right. Yeah. D's nuts. I'm the original D's nuts guy. Yeah.
Well, hey, congratulations on getting to camp by selling nuts.
Herpetology. Thank you.
I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah, it was.
I sold newspapers.
Cans and nuts. I sold everything and anything. Like, you remember in the back of comic books, you could sell flowers, seeds, and things like that to earn money. Yeah. I did it all. I sold sea monkeys. I don't know. Is that like sea monkey trafficking now? Is that bad? I don't know. That was a different time.
Yeah. Different time.
So, yeah. Remember, I was so excited. I'd put it up in my window and I forgot that they're little magnifying glasses all in there. Just I come home. I'm like, what happened to my sea monkeys, Dad?
We got sea monkey soup for you here.
Yeah.
Does that make monkey shoulder out of?
Yeah. Monkey. Yeah. Exactly. It is. Yeah.
So
they just strain.
Y'all paid to go to camp. Y'all paid money to go to camp.
Oh, not all of us had parents that loved us, Greg, and paid for
it. I went to seminary, man. We didn't have to pay anything, buddy. When they send you to seminary in freaking Houston, that's for free. Those guys are like, come on, send them on over here.
Mm-hmm. See, there was a difference. That you went to seminary, I went to Y Camp. It both came down to nuts. That's what it was.
Apparently,
let's get started.
Marty, tell a story.
You've got
a new story. Why don't we jump to something else here? Ghost hunters snap a child's face during a paranormal investigation in a haunted fort.
Okay, make sure that we clarified that he snapped a photo, not slapped a child's face.
He just snapped the child face during it's a picture. Let's say it's a picture. Yes. Ghost hunters caught a child's face on camera during a paranormal investigation in a haunted fort. The image emerged after they spent the night in Fort Horst, which is known for apparitions. A team of spirit seekers from Hunters Tours, a paranormal investigation group, took a group of ghost enthusiasts into tunnels underground. They only had torches to light the way, and all agreed they heard something shuffling down a dark alleyway. Colin Waterman managed to catch the image on camera at the haunted fort in Rochester, Kent. He told Kent Live, "We did a Ouija board. We were calling out to see if there were any spirits in the area. And a little child came through on the board. They spell out the letters. We said, are you a little boy? And it went to yes. He said that he died there when he was a little boy. Despite the strange goings on, it wasn't until 41-year-old Mr. Waterman got back to his home. He spotted the face in his photograph. He was flickering through pictures of the spooky night and admitted he almost missed the snapshot. Colin said, I skipped past the photo and went, hang on a minute. And I zoomed in, lightened it up, and it came up as a little face. I've got a few in the past, but nothing as clear as that. You get the little goose pimples to think I was actually standing there and that was looking down at us and we didn't see it. I was straight onto the crew members. They were like, oh my God, I can't believe it. What a great photo. The father of two showed his kids. Without hesitation, they also spotted the face. Andrew Ares, who has run the tour company for 20 years, was delighted at the picture. The 54-year-old said,
he's good looking.
Yes.
He's a goatee, bald, and glasses. Man, that's a good looking
photo. That is a look. I want
not everybody can carry that.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
The 54-year-old said, it's a really good one. We get stuff like this all the time, but that's an exceptional one. We run voice recorders during the experiment, and people tend to put headphones on and review the recordings, and you'd be amazed at what comes out. Amazing. Mr. Harris said the company, which has 60 staff running 400 to 500 paranormal investigations per year. That's a lot of investigations there. We do get people who get freaked out, but a lot of people are really into it. It's a strange sensation. People say they feel quite comforted by the stories that come out. We tell people we don't want them to be scared. We want them to be positive and open-minded. We want them to enjoy it. People enjoy being scared, but that's not what it's all about. We let the guests do the investigating bit. Hunter Tours mostly operates in Kent, including Dover Castle, Deal Castle, Fort Amherst, and Fort Horst, which describes itself as one of the most paranormally active venues in the Southeast.
All right, guys. Now look at the photograph. Do you see a child's face?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing, right? But you go back and you look. All right. So this is the faraway shot. For those of you that are not watching on the video, you can go check out the Paranormal 60 YouTube channel. go check it out and follow along with us there. And then when they close in on it, and that does look like a kid's face. Now, we've talked about pareidolia. Yeah. That's where the brain is always trying to make sense of anarchy. It's trying to make sense of things that we see, and faces are the most recognizable thing that we seek. That's why you see the Virgin Mary in an oil stain, or Elvis Presley in a smokestack, or a little ghost boy's face at the end of the hall. But that, damn it, that looks like a little ghost kid, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. That it does.
Yeah, that was great, Marty. How did he get away with Ouija board and apparitions?
Just happened. I was drinking either way, so at that point, it just didn't matter.
Ouija,
it like doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Get down here, Ouija.
Have you guys noticed Dave hasn't coughed for a while?
I have not coughed. I've not even had. My throat is electric with life. Yeah, I know.
He's ready to sing some Billy Joel.
I will. You know what's funny? I love our viewers. I love our listeners. I shaved my goatee a few weeks ago, and I made the joke that I was doing it to see if I looked younger because my arrogance couldn't stand the fact that I'm like sheltering this white goatee.
Yeah.
And some people they're like, I'm a huge fan of your show, but I got to tell you, you look like a turtle out of its shell.
Ow.
Goatee back. So I'm putting the goatee, I'm throwing the whole thing back in. I look like a turtle out of its shell, guys.
You look young.
Thanks to Bobby in Boston for that feedback.
You son of a bitch.
You shave that off and you look young, man.
Do I? I bought this coverall.
All shiny and new.
I was washing with coverall soap, and it's supposed to, in three washes, turn your goatee a natural color. It was not working.
Is naturally white.
I have ghost hair is what I have. Ghost hair. Yeah. All right. Gregor.
Oh, Gregor, God. Here we go.
What do you mean? Hey, you did
Man.
Yeah. Last time was hit it out of the park.
When I read, I'm like going along, and then nothing happens. Something.
Greg, what shirt do you got on tonight, Greg? It looks like a pretty cool one. What do you got?
Let's see what I got.
It's a pterodactyl. Mm-hmm. I like it, Craig.
Pterodactyl.
Very fashion forward.
All right. Yeah. So, family. Oh, wait,
I gotta make one quick notice. I know people are asking questions in the comments. I keep hitting them, but they're not popping up on the screen. So I apologize. We love, and I'll tell you what, all three of us over here, Greg, not so much because he doesn't even read the stories beforehand. He's not reading them, but we read them. We love your comments. Please keep them coming. I just can't get them up on the screen tonight for some reason. Mine's so working. Please it's forgive us for not doing that.
It's the whiskey. It's the whiskey.
Are you saying I can't get it up because of the whiskey?
No, the commercials. I didn't say that. The commercials were all weird.
Hashtag too. Blessed.
They got whiskey.
Hey, listen, I have said a million times, my favorite part of this show is reading the comments. And a lot of times they're not even paying attention to the show, which I totally get when Greg's talking. But they're talking between each other. Hey, you want to meet up? We'll go to Gettysburg together. I love that. Yeah, it's a good
grab coffee. Hey.
Yeah.
Is Greg still on? Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah. Who? Yep. What? All right. Let's go. All right. Gregory Lawson, the delegate from Hannibal, Texas. You have the floor.
Are we ready?
Let's do it.
Family hiring nanny for $64K a year with 28 days vacation. Job turns heads with special conditions. Yeah, make this for your first 20K a year.
Special conditions.
A family in Scotland is offering to pay more than $60,000 for a full-time housekeeper on the condition he or she doesn't mind living with. Guess what?
Ghosts.
That's
ghosts,
right. Yeah. The family posted an ad for a live-in nanny on childcare.co.uk. The post states that the couple have two children aged 5 and 7 and live in a lovely, spacious, historic property in a remote spot of with spectacular views. The job description is what you would typically expect: preparing breakfast, getting the children ready for school, dropping them off, picking them up from school, and assisting after school, including helping with homework and getting them ready for bed. Because both parents are required to travel for work regularly, the prospective nanny would be alone in the house with the children up to 4 nights per week. In addition to the $63,000 salary, in 28 days vacation, the family is offering qualified individuals a comfortable room with in-suite bathroom and private kitchen.
Do you guys want to see the picture of this house?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's look at
this. This is the actual house you get to live in.
I'm there.
Dun, da, 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 oh, yeah. Dun. That's very Munsters looking.
Oh, yeah. That is the Munsters like house.
Hey, Greg, except how about we white. Both go, give them two nannies for one, and we split the $63K.
There you go.
Dude, how about you just keep the $63K because you can manage money better than I can.
Fair. That is true.
And you just like buy my lunch and stuff.
Happy to do it.
Mm-hmm. That would probably work better. Mm-hmm. But there is something of a catch toward the bottom. Toward the bottom of the job listing, it's revealed that the family's house, which they have lived in for nearly 10 years, is said to be inhabited by ghosts.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Ghosts.
Hmm. We were told that it was haunted when we bought it, but kept our minds open and decided to buy the house regardless. The mother wrote, because that's what I would do.
Yeah. Right.
It seems like a small issue until you consider that they have yet to find any nanny brave enough to stick around for more than just a few months. Five nannies have left the role in the last year, each citing supernatural incidents as the reason, including strange noises.
There we go.
Reading.
It's funny that the word you messed up is reading. Okay. That's irony.
Any more appropriate.
Supernatural incidents as the reason, including strange noises, broken glass, and furniture moving, the post says. Wow. This has obviously been a period of great upheaval for our children.
Appeal? This is a time of great appeal. Greg, have a drink. Let's do it, buddy.
Just do it. So real fast, while Greg's taking a drink, one of my favorite posters in Greg's house is that Creatures of the Black Lagoon poster he has over his shoulder there, right? Do me a favor and bring up the picture you were of the house with the ghost on the stairs.
Okay.
Dave, you could bring that up real fast.
Yep.
That house has the same poster.
Look at that.
That is crazy.
I swear to God, I'm sitting here looking at this going, how do they have the same posters?
No, that's crazy.
It's amazing. Amazing.
Oh, Drinco de Mayo all over again.
Oh, yep.
Dental.
All right. So I'm going to go back. This has obviously been a period of great upheaval for our children. We haven't personally experienced any supernatural happenings as they have been reported only while being out of the house, but we're happy to pay above the asking rate and feels it's important that we tell this upfront as possible and to find the right person. The ad got
Wouldn't it be an amazing new paranormal TV show? Paranormal Nanny, Dave Schrader.
Paranormal Nanny.
I moved to Europe. Yeah. I take care of these kids. It's like I'm like the paranormal Vin Diesel when you think of it.
Oh, hey, yeah.
I'm really like the nanny.
This is
the Fran Drescher of the paranormal.
This is something I don't get as far as TV execs and what they do. That would be a great show. I would watch that show, Paranormal Nanny, with Dave Schrader. But it would be cooler if you like had an apron or something
will wear an apron and nothing else.
Dude, no, wow. Dude, cool. You're with kids, what? Man.
No, I don't mean with. I mean, I would wear the apron.
All the kids over 18. That wasn't part of the story, but I looked it up and I saw it.
In Thailand. Anyway, the ad got an overwhelming number of responses. In an update, the mother wrote that they have received more than 2,000 responses, including messages of support and applications for the job. Nice. Speaking to The Telegraph, childcare.co.uk, CEO Richard Conway described the family's plight as the most interesting story he's ever heard.
You've proven that it's not.
I love the delayed reaction. He's like, what is Greg I get it now.
When we saw
normally Dave drinks the least of all of us. Tonight, that's not the case, and we're seeing the results.
Wow. Right. Oh, it's an empty glass.
Everyone's in the comments like, hey, Dave, throw my comment up. And Dave's like, yeah, I don't know how to do that.
I don't know how to do that.
Shit. I got no time for that.
I got no time for that.
Good for Dave. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So,
wow. Yeah, oh, my God. Is there still more?
Case, yeah. In case anybody forgot. Great. CEO Richard Conway said, when we saw the advert, we were stunned, Conway said. Some of the guys at HQ were skeptical about talking to the family and their previous employees. We realized it was a genuine position. He added, the family has assured us that there's been no harm and has come to anyone that's been in the house. However, the nanny will have to have a strong disposition. Back to you, Dave. Pop,
pop. What do you guys think? Paranormal Manny with Dave Schrader.
Pitch that to every network.
Is that
they would be fools not to do it.
Yeah, they is that be. Still open? To submit.
I don't know. That's the new article. It just came out this week. So Greg just sent it to me. It's gotta be new. He wouldn't send me an old story.
No, he wouldn't. No. Or would he?
The story that I have
throw read. Your hat in the ring, Dave. Imagine I've you get read a call.
This story. I went over this story 12 times.
Yeah, God, no, you didn't. It's like you're reading a cereal box in the aisle. Riboflavin, glucosamine.
We're the bifocals on, right?
What kind of cereal? Man. All of them have riboflavin.
Glucosamine?
Yeah. I'm an old guy. I'm an old guy. I need a lot of glucosamine and whatever I eat. All right, we are down to our last two stories.
Thank God.
And this guy, after a full glass and an entire Guinness is about to read. All right, are we ready?
All right.
First of all,
you're just going
to show off. I would like to challenge. I would like to challenge the Paranormal 60 News crew to join me this January 13th through the 15th in Southern California, because it's a party at the Fear Fair, Friday the 13th, Paranormal Festival. Concerts, shopping, paranormal chats, haunts and attractions, variety acts, film festival, special guests. That would be me. Fun. We're going to have a great time. We'll also drink whiskey. Let's do it. Ooh. Let's just get like screwball for everybody.
January 13th?
Yeah, the Fear Fair, F-A-I-R-E, very English. The Fear Fair, or just go to darknessevents.com, darknessevents.com, and you'll be able to find all of the events I'll be a part of this year. But everybody in California is always like, when are you going to come out to California to be a part of our... That's the Californian accent, in case you're not familiar with it. Why are you going to come out to the California area to do an event? I will be there.
I thought you brought touch of Monty back Python. For a minute.
Yeah. Y'all really want to do this?
I want to do it. Let's do it.
Let's do this.
January 13th.
I thought we already agreed we're going to do a different one.
Did we?
Yeah. The Jericho Cruise. And then you guys are all like, we're not going to go. We've got important things to do. Whatever.
Let me tell you a story, if you don't mind.
I've got a story to share. Ladies and gentlemen.
I've got a short 33-minute story.
Kelly Clarkson left terrified on a show over Sarah Hyland's insane roommate experience. Kelly Clarkson is just not a fan of Paranormal Activity, which she made abundantly clear after her show's most recent guest had quite the spooky story for her. The star was left terrified live on air during Monday, November 28th's episode of the Kelly Clarkson Show, when guest Sarah Hyland, who you might recognize from Modern Family, shared a spooky story about her relationship with a ghost. As the Modern Family star detailed her experience living abroad, that means out of the country, guys, not.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, living with as a ghost, abroad.
Yeah. Living with a ghost named Olga.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. The host was at a loss for words over the story, maintaining that she does not do well when it comes to anything haunted.
I was going to ask if Kelly knew what she was getting into.
I don't even know who these ladies are.
Kelly didn't quite know what she was getting into when she asked her guest about the supposed roommate she had when living in Berlin while she filmed a new project detailing the very, very old building she had a studio apartment in. Sarah ominously said a lot of probably terrible.
Terrible.
No, I wish that was the word. This is poorly written. A lot of probably terrible things happened there.
Is that what it said?
Then she revealed, I was moving in and I was putting my stuff on the dresser, and all of a sudden I smelled perfume. And I was like, what is going on? Leading her to come to the conclusion that she had a ghostly roommate, because that's the conclusion. I paranormal detective, help me on this. If you smell perfume, it means you've got a ghostly roommate.
Yeah, simple.
Right. Yeah. Right. As soon as Sarah, who later detailed how she has always been in touch with the paranormal, further explained that she felt her roommate had been there since the 1940s. Kelly quickly exclaimed, "You mean like a ghost? And you stayed in it?" That's almost, man, if you watch that video and then put it like side by side with me and Kelly Clarkson.
Don't know who's talking.
Who is Kelly Clarkson?
Wow, really?
Wow.
Too sexist. Soon. Sexist.
No, I don't know who it is. I don't know who she is.
The actress continued to detail her ghostly relationship, and Kelly was left with mouth agape.
I think the word's agape.
Agape.
Agape. Yeah.
You're right. I forgot.
It's a sweet stuff you put in your coffee.
Yeah. She was left with her mouth agape, later saying, "What? I am freaking. I'm so terrified of stuff like that. And that, I just don't even want to know it exists. If it exists, and you're saying it exists, which terrifies me." Not letting go of her shock, she said, "That's insane." As she asked Sarah if she had always felt a sort of kinship with the other realms. "Oh, yes, my mom taught me how to read tarot cards when I was a kid. She reads palms. It's truly amazing," she said.
Dave, I only have one thing to add to that story.
What is that?
Well, quite simply, for those of you watching at home, you'll see that...
Stop, Dave. Stop now.
That was actually my story that Dave just read. Dave is so drunk, he just read my story.
I did not.
Dude, it says Eric's seventh story right there.
No, it doesn't. Oh.
No. All right. Well, then you read this one.
I remember my first time running a show.
Haunted Mansion. Dave gets another story.
Here we go. All right. Well, it's better. Look at.
Hey, this.
I don't mean to brag, guys, but after a full glass and a full tumbler of Skrupa whiskey and another shot, that story was the smoothest story of the night.
It was.
All right.
Is that a new Darkwing?
Professional.
What's the thing called that you put up there? The guy that's scary. What's his name? Dumbest Scully. Story of the week.
Yeah. Scully.
Smoothest story of the week.
Smoothest story of the week.
Next week.
Sorry, Eric. I didn't notice your name.
I'm good. I'm back to drinking. You're good.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Who wants to talk about crystal balls?
Hurry up.
That's kind of your space.
Question. All right. Listen, I got a question for you.
What, Dave? Listen, we're trying to protect your career here.
Yeah.
No, I'm jumping.
Care what to ask.
Jumping a track.
I know.
So my son the other day, my 10-year-old son.
I knew it.
One in the army?
He says to me, my 10-year-old son.
10-year-old son.
He says to me, what's blue balls mean? Does it mean you're really cold?
Cold, yes.
And at first I said, yes, it does. And then I thought to myself, he's going to go to school and tell everybody he's got blue balls when it's cold out. And I can't do that. Now, as a father... I was like, where do I go with this?
Yeah.
Like,
what do I do?
Right. And we're talking about family. Are we not?
Right. You don't have to yell at me. I was.
Listen, those two guys right there combined have how many kids?
Yeah. Let me count them.
I need to be quiet.
Yeah. So, Eric, do you think I was in the right to then realize the rationalization I'd given him that. Hold on. Let me do this the right way. This really needs to be done.
No pictures.
Yeah. No, this needs to be done the right way.
Parent. The way the show should have been from day one. Go ahead.
Parent to parent. I need to ask you.
Sure.
So your son says to you, so blue balls, dad, does that mean you're cold? Do you just go with it? Do you roll with it and allow him to go to school? And he's going to find out from somebody, probably Ian or Jacob or one of those other jerks at school.
Arseholes, yeah.
And then the kid can't trust you because you set him up? Or do we... I told him that's... I go, that's not what blue balls are. But you're a little too young to know what blue balls are. So let's, maybe we just don't need to talk about blue balls at all. And he goes, all right, but just between you and me, what are blue balls? See, now, at what point do you have that? He's 10 years old. The times, they are a changing.
Yeah.
At what point do you think, this is a conversation I can have with Mike?
Wow.
I hiccup there. I don't know.
I did, Dave. I just kind of went right over it. You know, if you think back, someone said to me the other day about the proliferation of, you look at the top 10 websites visited, like 40% of the top 10 are of an adult nature.
Yeah. You cannot. Do you know you could take any name? Like, I could go on Facebook and type in Eric Folsom to look for you. That. And there's some hot chick with a half shirt on. Every name is some hot chick with a half shirt on. It's so crazy. That. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me readdress this real quickly before I go into the next story.
This is so much better. Just the two of us.
Right. It is. It feels like this. You and me. So
look at the comments. Story. They're saying, get rid of the other two. This is great. This is what I've always wanted, Dave.
No. All right. So here's the deal.
Yeah.
I realize as a parent, this is a precarious position to be in. The world is in a different place. Like, my dad would have said, yeah, means your balls are cold and you don't want to talk about it at school because they're going to think you're an idiot.
Way different. Yeah.
Over the shoulder. And the next day, that would have been the end of it. My kid, he'd been at school going like, hey guys, it's so cold out. I've got blue balls. Right.
Right. Right.
So it's a new world. It's a new world.
It you is. Know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So here's the thing. And hopefully they'll put some comments here, but you've got the father discussion, but then you've got the grandfather discussion, right?
Right. I'm a grandfather too. Yeah.
That's what I mean. And so as a grandfather, you don't hold the keys to his future like a father does, right? You're going to pass away before the parent does.
No, but I want to continue to see the grandson.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you wanted him to see him or not. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then don't tell him. Yeah.
So I told my son what blue balls really are.
The 10-year-old.
I explained it to him in the most genuine, you know, because here's the deal. This is one thing I learned. And you know who I learned this from? Rance Howard.
Who is
Ron
Rance
Howard? And Clint Howard's dad, Ronnie Howard, you know, from Happy Days Chachi.
Yeah. How do I not know that?
Right. He was very open with his son. So I thought, and I read their book about their life growing up. And I thought, how can I not be? So I was just very honest. It's very clinical. This is the situation. This is what blue balls are. He just looked at me and goes,
yeah. At that point, you probably want to stop talking about it. He does, right?
Yeah, but you know what?
He didn't know that's it was it.
Bad. Yeah, he doesn't want to talk any further.
But, Dad, you were honest with me. I appreciate it. And I don't even want to talk about that anymore because that's not what I thought it was.
So that's where I left it.
All right. Weigh in here, everybody. Let us know. All right, can I? Next week.
I can't bring him on. Here, let me go into comments again. Okay, here.
Nope.
Why is it not working? What am I missing?
Dave, you know why it's not working? You've had too much to drink.
That's not it. I know how to click a button.
Is it the right button, though?
I've been
just like your wife says. Before. Is it the right button?
Wow. Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
No, what are you doing?
The paranormal detective
are back.
Such
a good time.
All right. Did you guys ever see the Eddie Murphy Albatross that was the Haunted Mansion movie?
I love that.
Based on the... You liked it?
I love that movie. I love
Eddie Murphy.
Okay. He liked the concept. Yeah. Thanks.
Every actor.
Good to have you back.
Good to have you both back. Thank you for joining us.
Well, no.
Every actor in the new Haunted Mansion movie was given a crystal ball to tune into paranormal thinking. The live action Disney remakes director Justin Simien has revealed he did everything to ensure that the psychics and paranormal experts come across as authentic as possible. He told Empire Magazine he gave them fortune-telling spheres to bring clarity, amplify energy, just to tune into the paranormal thinking so it felt authentic on screen. Let me put this up. Yeah, that's right. The starry cast includes Jamie Lee Curtis, Lakeith Stanfield, Tiffany Haddish, Owen Wilson, Rosario Dawson, and Danny DeVito. The movie will still focus on a mother and her son as they stumble on a mansion with a mysterious past. They then find themselves meeting a whole host of eclectic, ghostly characters. Production got underway in Atlanta and New Orleans, or as we like to say here on the show, Nawlins, And the latter city hints at the original attraction, which is set in New Orleans Square. I didn't know that. Did you know that the original attraction was set? Marty, you
did. I did. Oh, yeah. I did know that.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's a weird bit of trivia.
Wait, real quick.
Greg.
Here's a weird piece of trivia. Let's see. The first one of you have to raise your hand. Don't yell out the answer.
Marty,
wait. Put your hand down.
Marty's got COVID on his hand. Look at that. Do it again. Look at that. Okay, the ghost of Mr. Chicken Hand.
Come on.
All right. Ready? Here we go. Which attraction at Disney has the most ashes spread amongst it? Wow. Chachi, you were quick. You were quick on the trigger, which I know you've heard before, but what would you say it is, Eric?
All right. And it's not Haunted Mansion, correct?
That is correct.
All right. My guess, and this is Disney World.
He's guessing.
Either one.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Marty knows the answer.
By the way, I know the answer, but go ahead. Yeah. Oh.
Did he just take a sip from the bottle?
Yeah.
Getting ugly.
Come on.
We got to get access to the comments here.
Eric, just step up.
Come on. What is it, Eric?
You know it, Eric. It's a small world.
Marty, what do you believe the correct answer is?
That was sick, actually.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Greg, would you care to wager?
I've never been to Disney, man. Are you kidding me?
He has no kids. He has no
100 people surveyed. Top 10 answers are on the board. Show me. It's a small world. Ding, ding, ding. The number one answer.
Why would they do that here? You must hate whoever that is
to sprinkle their dust in an area where it's like, yeah, it's a small world after all.
24/7, 365. After
all. Right? That'd drive you nuts. But it's the second place.
Why? Hundred. Why would they do that?
Wow.
They've
had to stop the ride because you throw it over. They throw the ashes over into the water.
But why? Why there?
Because
people love Disney. Yeah,
they just, when I die, I want my ashes thrown in, I don't know, Peter Pan's ride, you know, whatever.
Okay, you guys all heard it. We've got Peter it legal here. Yeah, this guy wants but, to.
No, I was using it as an example.
Peter Pan's ride.
Ooh. We're going to put you on Peter Pan's ride, all right.
I've been talking for 30 seconds on mute. I apologize. No problem. I had a bunch of jokes in there. That was good.
Did you? The question is, did you? All right, guys. We are at an hour and 20 in this 60-minute program. I have one story left to share. I promised. I don't know if you remember the theory of tonight's show. It is top secret.
That's right.
Supernatural secrets revealed.
Don't tell stuff. I just want to say, I don't think that's the theory of the show. I think it's the subject of the show.
It's the theme of the show. Although it is kind of the theory. The theory.
This could have been a show.
I'm getting all like Max on my own show.
I'm going to ask a question for the comments real fast. If you'd like Dave to be more like this Dave than the other 92 episodes of Dave, please let us know in the comments.
Yes, please do.
You know what? I used to go on. Jeff Belanger had the speakeasy.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we're going to drink during the entire show. He was a dirty, dirty liar because I was the only one that drank. So if you go back and you can find it on YouTube, go look up the speakeasy, Jeff Belanger, and look up Dave Schrader. I am based on every episode. No matter who's on, I'm putting on masks, I'm dancing.
Do you remember what Belanger did to me at Michigan Paracon, right?
Oh, dragon's milk?
Yep, dragon's milk. Every time he would take it, he would get one, think he's drinking it or pretend he's drinking it, and he'd hand it to me, and I would drink it on his behalf. And he would never drink anything. He would just keep passing it to me.
I filtered it out for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not having him on. We are at our final story. Let me try I'm going to see if I can nail this thing right to the 90-minute mark. Are we ready?
Let's do it. You're going to make this a 7.5-minute story?
God, that's long.
God, I hope not. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a question that has befuddled the masses for going on over 50 years. How did Casper become a friendly ghost? And what killed him? Even Casper is a little perplexed by this question. Casper the friendly ghost, just like the song says, Casper's the friendly ghost, you know. Though grown-ups might look at him with fright, the children, they love him so. Yet any viewer who is even aware of a Casper as a movie or character notices something about him that is quite troubling. He's a child that's also a ghost, meaning he is the spirit of a deceased child. This innocent cartoon character has raised plenty of questions over the years regarding his origin. Do ghosts just exist? Or for Casper to be a ghost, does he have to be deceased? It's a long-standing question that most adaptations of the characters tend to avoid, likely due to the grim reality of talking about a dead child and how that certainty does not make for a family-friendly viewing experience.
I like friending.
Mm-hmm. Friending. However, the question has been asked so often regarding if Casper is a deceased child, and if so, how did he die? That's not only been pondered by audiences, but even filmmakers. It would be about 50 years before the character got a proper explanation of his status as a ghost. Here's the breakdown of how Casper came to be. Casper first appeared in a series of theatrical animated shorts from Famous Studios titled Casper, the Friendly Ghost. Now, show of hands, guys. In all honesty, everybody always says Scooby-Doo was their introduction to the paranormal. How many of you was it Casper, the Friendly Ghost?
Absolutely.
Sure, it was Casper.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. 75. Well, I mean, Scooby-Doo was the active.
See how we're raising our hand, Greg? See how we're doing that?
This is a visual thing,
yeah,
Greg.
Yeah, this is a visual thing for our audience listening. So Casper was kind of my introduction. I loved Casper. My favorite episodes. Do you remember when he turned nasty?
Because I didn't like that.
I love that one when his three, like his uncles are like, right. Yeah, you're too wimpy. And then like he turned evil, but he only scared them. He only freaked them out.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
I didn't see that one.
Now there is a conspiracy about this. We're going to get to in just a few moments. Mm-hmm. See, Casper was created by Seymour Wright, Joe Aurelio, and Vincent E. Valentine II. The shorts ran from 1945 to 1959, which is around the time Harvey Comics purchased the rights to Casper's character from Famous Studios. Harvey had been publishing Casper comics since 1952, when he was one of the company's selling titles. Casper's stories tend to follow a similar format. Casper tries to befriend humans, but his ghostly appearance scares them, and he has to deal with his uncles, the ghostly trio, who are often scaring people. This has been the basis for many of Casper's stories, with the fact that he is a child not mattering to the plot, but only really existing as a fun way to feature a cute cartoon character for kids to connect with. It was sort of a given that this ghost was also a child, but as generations of fans grew up with Casper and got older, the question of the character's mortality began to be raised. For much of Casper's existence, his status as a ghost kid never really was brought up in his original cartoons or the comics. The most that got revealed was in the wholesome Harvey comics from the 1960s that Casper is a ghost because his parents are ghosts. Duh. He didn't die, but was instead just born a ghost. So he isn't dead, but instead ghosts are sort of a separate species that apparently can procreate. Aside from the many more questions that raises about ghosts, it provided a semi-answer, although not an entirely, satisfying one for fans. However, Casper, being a kid ghost, was a troubling notion for some. It was even joked about on The Simpsons, where Bart theorizes that Casper is the ghost of what fellow Harvey Comics character, guys?
Batman.
When you think of... No, that was DC.
Yeah. Superman? Yeah.
Come on. No, man. No.
Thor?
He could fly, but no. No. Greg, what do you think?
Greg Eric's knows.
Apparently too drunk to think.
Never happens.
Yes, it's Casper.
Right. Who do you think is the ghost?
I'm the problem. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Let me fix that problem right there.
The show's getting better. Here we go. All right. Marty, hook us up.
Martin, the Colonel Vias. Yep. Who would you think, if anybody could be the ghost of Casper, who might that person be?
I have no earthly idea.
I have no time for your insolence and ignorance. Chachi, when you see this photograph, you're going to say, how the hell did I not see this? Did you used to read Casper comics growing up?
Absolutely.
Right. Who didn't, right?
Who didn't, yeah.
The cartoon. Internet. And then Harvey Comics had Little Lotta, Little Devil, Hot Stuff, The Little Devil. How about this kid?
Oh, I knew it. That's what you said. That holy crap. No way.
Is that not bonkers? That for those of you listening, I have a photograph up of Richie Rich and Casper.
He looks just like him.
Oh my God. Sans bow tie, shorts, and white go-go boots.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He is almost
identical. The eyes, obviously, the first thing you see.
Yeah.
The chin, yeah. Right? The head.
Yeah, the nose.
Wow.
Is that not crazy? There was a huge conspiracy that maybe Casper, the friendly ghost, was in fact Richie Rich.
That was However, there's a question.
There's a bit of a problem with that because Harvey Comics released Richie Rich and Casper Ghost comic books together.
Aww.
So you could see both characters simultaneously.
Yeah, hold on, Dave. Hold on.
Uh-oh. Okay. Marty,
go. Could Casper had been Richie Rich 50 years earlier?
Oh, time slip.
Mm-hmm. Dimensional.
Hold on, everybody just stop for a second. No, you're wrong, but thanks
for it's a dimensional shift.
It was a theory.
It was a good theory, though. That was a good theory.
I like where you're going. Yeah.
In 1990s, we saw a boom, a major boom,
in
adaptations of classic television series. This ranged from live action franchises like Have any of you watched the new Wednesday series on Netflix?
Yes.
What do you think of it, Paranormal
Detective?
I like it.
It's like Nancy Drew meets the Addams Family. Am I right?
And Buffy the Vampire Slayer / Hawk.
Batman.
No, I was pretty sure I was right.
Yeah. Why does he even try?
He just keeps rambling.
He does.
Would be so much easier to just agree with the host of the show.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
No brainer.
You're right, Dave.
I love him. I love him like a redheaded stepchild. This ranged from live action franchises like The Addams Family, Mission Impossible, and The Fugitive. Animated series getting the big live treatment, such as Flintstones came out in that same genre. So did George of the Jungle. And who starred as both George of the Jungle and Dudley Do-Right?
Brandon, what's his name?
Very close.
Brandon.
Brandon Fraser.
That's the guy. I just said it.
Yeah, in 1995, Universal Pictures released Casper on Memorial Day weekend. The film was notable for being the first to have a CGI title character and brought the lovable cartoon character to life like never before. I got to fight that. I got to think. I don't know what year. Chachi, look it up while we're talking. What year did this came out in 1995? What year did Jurassic Park come out? Because I would say the dinosaurs were kind of the title character of that series.
Bingo, 92. You got it.
Mm-hmm. Were they CGI? Ooh,
that's good. That is good.
No.
Ooh. Wait.
They were real, Greg.
Get rid of him.
Yeah. It's best for everybody all the way around.
There you go. Dave, just so you know, we're looking at a 9-minute story here. This has been wonderful.
See, you didn't think I could stretch it. I went beyond 7 minutes.
Yep.
Right into the 120.
Here we go.
That's right. Anyway,
Greg's having internet problems.
This is a big feature adaptation. The filmmakers were tasked with finally explaining why there is a ghost child. Director Brad Silbering and screenwriters Sherry Stoner. Does anybody here know? And I know some of you viewing know this answer. Sherry Stoner. Why is she important to cartoon history? Does anybody know? Chachi, you've got a daughter. If you don't know this answer, I think we can't be friends anymore.
Barbie.
Wow.
Barbie is wrong. No, it was actually, she was the, how do you like that? Greg liked it. Yeah. Look at her. She's like a gleeful child. Sherry Stoner was actually the Little Mermaid. She was the Little Mermaid.
Adaptation. That's what I was going to say. If you would have asked me that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
That's creepy that you know that without having children. Yeah. Anyway, director Brad Silbering and screenwriters Sherry Stoner and Deanna Oliver crafted a backstory for Casper. In the film, it revealed his real name was Casper McFadden. The first time he was provided with a last name, Casper was a 12-year-old boy who died of pneumonia after playing out in the snow too long.
Oh, my God.
Motivated his father to spend the rest of his life trying to find a way to bring his son back. And his invention became a catalyst for the rest of the film. Not much has been done with the character in recent years, though it was reported recently that a new Casper series on Peacock is being developed. It will be interesting to see if they keep the origin from the 1995 film or create a new explanation for why Casper is a ghost boy. Chachi, welcome back.
I thought I was done for the night.
My bad. Guys, here's to 93 episodes.
No way we're making 94.
No, I'll be on Monday with 94. You guys will be back for 95. I don't know how this all, you guys have to do the math. Maybe we'll be back together as a team for 100. How about if we should do that? Just whatever it is. If I have to put in extra episodes, we should be together for 100 episodes.
Well, Christmas whatever night, 100th episode.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Dave. Christmas Eve or Christmas Day night? Because there's Christmas two different things there.
Christmas Day night.
Listen, you heathen.
Yeah.
Listen to Marty.
I got stuff to do on Christmas Eve.
You got no kids. What are you doing
on Christmas? What do you got to do on Christmas Eve? You're going to go out and steal somebody's tree, a Grinch? You and your green shirt? He's a mean one, Mr. Lawson. Mm-hmm. 1 hour, 34 minutes. Look at how grumpy.
Just rub it in, man. You don't have any kids. You don't have any reason to live. What are you doing?
No, we never said that. You've got Lynn, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Lynn could use the insurance money, though.
Yeah, she could. Just think about it. Something to think about. Ladies and gentlemen, the paranormal detective, he has books out. They would make a great Christmas present. Greg, tell people how they can order your book for the holidays.
Well, thanks, Dave. You can go to www.theparanormaldetective.com or go to just Amazon and look up my name along with The Paranormal Detective and Roswell or How to Be a Paranormal Detective or Diaries of a Paranormalist or any of that stuff.
All right. I saw that Eric had something, but I don't know if he really had that to share. Oh, wait, he did. Ladies and gentlemen, Chachi, what have you got to promote? What would be a great book, a good stocking stuffer? Yeah, for people that are looking for a paranormal read for the holidays.
Every year, I create the top five books to give at Christmas. Mm-hmm. Every year. Mm-hmm. And this year, mm-hmm. my number one book on my list is called Conflicted Reality, My Paranormal Journey.
I have that one. I have that one.
I will say that. That is one of the few books I have on my shelf. Who wrote the foreword for that book?
A David Schrader.
Oh, not familiar. Is he good?
I haven't heard of him.
His writing is simplistic, but it gets the point across.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Chachi. Colonel, I know you're selling anything.
I'm not selling a thing.
Nope. Whatever works. Thank you for being here with us, Colonel, and happy holidays to you and your family. We'll see you again next week. We've got more stories to share. Thank you all for spending your time with us here. The brotherhood and sisterhood, the darklings of the paranormal. We want to thank you so much for being here and being a part of our world because it really does mean a lot to us. We'll be back again next week with more news and more high strangeness and maybe some booze right here on the Paranormal 60 News with Dave Schrader. Paranormal 60 is a words is hard, and boy, I like drinking on Friday's production.